Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and Hotep. Up you mighty race, you can accomplish what you will. So how does the African feel this evening? And how are the children? If the children are doing well, I know they're at the center and the heart of the family. Then the family must be doing well. Doing well, doing well. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you. We are now officially on the air. This is your Omi Inca 7, and I am talking to you from my studio in the Care to Read room. If you care to read, pick up a book today and read, because Omi is definitely going to give you her recommendation for a selection of books. This is African American History Week, month, year. We're going to keep doing it throughout the year, ladies and gentlemen. As you notice, I'm still paying the Kwanzaa songs like Ujamaa, Kujichajalia, Nia, Purpose. I'm going to be putting it down like that, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm an African. The question here today is to be or not to be African. That is the question. And as you know, we have been posing the question, Moses, Moses, who is Moses? And today we say we're honoring our leaders for Black History Month who have the spirit of Moses. And we're going to talk about that spirit and what it consists of and why we ought to have a Moses spirit, why we ought to go out in the courtyard and lift up our arms and tell the people that everything is going to be all right. And that because he lifted his hands up, the people would believe again. We need another Moses out in the atmosphere so the people can see Moses' arms lifted up and believe again. But guess what? There are many men that have gone on and made their transition who had the same spirit of Moses. They had a spirit in their heart that they would believe that they could accomplish as long as they had an Aaron alongside of him. You notice God didn't leave Moses by himself. He gave him Aaron to speak for him and be his voice. Now, some of you need an Aaron beside you or a helpmate. It doesn't necessarily have to be a particular male gender. It could be a female. In today's time, we are doing things in duality. But we're going to talk about that Moses spirit and what it means to have a Moses spirit. A Moses spirit means he is going to put his foot down and say, up, you mighty race, we can accomplish what we will. And when he holds his arms up, the people will believe again. Who of you, who out in the audience has a Moses spirit? If you have a Moses spirit, why don't you rise with me today as we go over to the Talking Cure room and we begin to acknowledge all of our slaying leaders and acknowledge those that are still present here with us because some of them are incarcerated in their mind. We want to free their minds today so that their bodies will follow. We want to reassure them today it's not another leader we need. We need to build leadership in each and every one of us. What we need is to believe again, to have hope again. And that's what Moses brought us. He brought us truth. He took away the law. He took away the letter of the law. And he brought us grace and mercy and truth. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that there's still some Moses out there who are defying the law? The letter of the law, he said, would kill it. But I bring you grace and mercy. Grace and mercy have I given you, that you might be pardoned today. So we will go over to the Talking Cure room today as I go to my altar, and I ask God to pardon us, to be an intercessor for us, because we can only do 70%. We're not capable of doing that 100%. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how much progress you said you made last month, last year. You can only do a certain percentage. That is why God is here, to intercede on our behalf, to pick up the slack, the 30%, so it makes us 100% foolproof. Let's go over to the Talking Cure room, and let's begin to commence with pouring libation. And ladies and gentlemen, if you will stand to your feet, I am about to get cleaned up so that I will be purified and this space will be hollowed out. You could do the same things in your home. Set up your altar and hollow out a space where you stop every day to acknowledge Akamare, Oludulamare, your mother spirit, your father spirit, your yeye, and your baba. And you call on your heroes and sheroes. This is a month I want you to set your altar up. There's some heroes and sheroes waiting on you to call them back home, to reconnect them back to the greater circle. So as I begin to purify myself, pardon me, as I purify myself and get cleaned up. All right, I'm purified. I have to remember to do that and to remember to acknowledge Akamare and Oladulamare. We give them the highest honor and the praise. And for you Africans who don't know what that means, it is just a proper name for God. We have not stopped believing in God. We believe in a monotheistic, the one Godhead. Even though there is a manifestation of description of him described in three different manifestations, we still believe in that one significant God, Akamare. And we also call him Oladulamare. As we acknowledge him, we give him praise and honor. We magnify him for keeping us and preserving us and giving us grace and truth. Thank you so much, God, for giving us grace and mercy and truth. Thank you for setting us aside that today we can stand in this room unmolested, unharmed, as we call on our ancestors and acknowledge them in our native tongue, as we call on our ancestors and say, Oila, Oila, where thou our spirit, come back and reconnect yourself to the greater circle and be a part of this family again. So how is the African doing this evening? You ought to say the African is doing well. The African is doing well, then it will be well with your soul. So I pour libation to my mother spirit, my yeye, Yamanja, and I say Ashe. Say that with me, Ashe. I light a candle for my mother's spirit and tell mother to hurry quickly home as she will be guided with the light. I pour libation to my father's spirit and I say Ashe to my father, Robert Jenkins. I light a candle to my father and say, Father, quench your thirst and drink well and find your way home through the light, through the tunnels and through the middle passage. Find your way back to the greater circle. I light a candle for my father so that he can help my mother in the event that she needs to be lifted up. She can stand on his shoulders. I pour libations to the east and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the west and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the north and I say, Ashe. And finally, I pour libations to the south, and I say, Ashe. I'm going to pour libations to those slain heroes and those sheroes that have gone on, but their souls still linger. Their sweet-smelling Savior still lingers in the atmosphere. It hasn't gone anywhere. They've just gone on the other side. And we call them back today as we embark upon the second day of Black History Month. We especially call on Carter G. Woodson today. Carter G. Woodson, please take your place, because had it been not for you, Carter, we could not have had a Black History Month that was hollowed out and set aside for African people. So we thank you. We call out the name of Dr. Carruthers. Dr. Carruthers, we thank you and ask you to take your seat. We call Martin. Oh, Martin, where have you been? You've been gone for so long. Has anybody seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me, Coretta, where has he gone? Will you please find Martin and bring him home, please, sweet Coretta? And we say Ashe to them. We say Ashe to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Elijah, your people are still standing for what you represented. We say, find your way back to the greater circle, my brother. And we call on Zora Neale Hurston, the sister who found her religion in Yoruba and found her position as a priestess. We say, come on home, Yoruba priestess, and reconnect yourself back. And we call on Nina Simone with her sweet singing song and singing about, oh, Mississippi, how hard can you be? Come on, Nina. Bring another song with you and sing that sweet as good as song that you always sing. We call you back to the greater circle. We call John Henry Clark, a man that was before his time. We call you back, John Henry Clark. And we call Doc Ben back, the father of the ancient Egyptian metaphysics group. We call you back, Doc Ben. We miss you. Come on back home. And we call you back as a group today, and may we stand on your shoulders. And I call a one, Metahochi, Kofi, Zanu, Wali back. I want to say that again, Chief Metahochi, Kofi, Wali, Zanu back. the father of many Yoruba teachers and preachers and priestesses. We call you back. We miss you, Father. Come on back into the circle and be a part of this greater circle. We thank you for raising up those who will be conscious of their heritage and their culture and make that culture come alive for those who would actually breathe up under the nourishment that it has to give. We know that this is the consciousness that keeps us alive. This is a consciousness that strengthens us. This is a consciousness that will subdue when nothing else will. Put it in your spirit and carry it with you. Father God, we come to you today asking that you would touch every nationality today, asking that you would touch every culture. We ask that you would touch the Asian and the Euro-Asian and the Native American, and we ask that you would touch the Hmongs, and we ask that you would go back and touch the Hispanics. And we ask that you would touch the Caucasian. And we ask that you would do a double portion with the African American to bring us up to our part where we should be. And as we enter in the greater circle, may we find fellowship with one another and find kinship and some commonalities so that we can worship within our own customs and traditions with respect. And out of respect, we worship and recognize all of the chains of command and realize that God would not be a God if he didn't have an order of things. God is orderly. He is not a man and he is not a woman, but he is orderly and he is not the author of confusion. So therefore, to put us over in a land which we were not familiar with and try and make us grow up and live after a custom and tradition that's not ours, it would be ill-formed. And we are not practicing outside of our cultures today. We are going to acknowledge our culture today. And because some of us are still Christians, it's okay. But for those of us who've grown up and advanced ourselves to another level, to a consciousness level of understanding how all religion fits together and how all denominations and cultures have a commonality, then let us be able to find and embrace our customs and tradition without being molested or harmed. And we thank you, Father, that you have always found a place for your people, that you've hollowed out a space for us, and that we are significant and we belong in the history books. Now, Father, help us to teach our children where we have been misplaced in the history books. Help us to be able to make history come alive for the community to see that we have self-worth and we have value. Help the community to see that we share and take part in building this great universe and that we, too, are the builders and architects who help to structure this universe. And most of all, Father, let us have respect. Let us not become indignant with our pride and our funds and our money, and let us not think ourselves better than others. Let us be able to be humble enough that we will be able to embrace a little child, and a little child will lead us. Thank you, Father, for the benefit of being able to use this room and coming in here unmolested to be able to preach the good news. And we know that Ephah will mend all of our broken hearts. We know that Ephah will mend all of our broken hearts. And we then will help someone to get to heaven. Not only ourselves, but the white man and the black male and the Gentile and the Jews will all find their frame of reference called heaven. Here in a physical medical plane, help us to become metaphysicists so that we understand that this cosmic earth, we must begin to understand and master ourselves before we can master any heaven. We must master ourselves and know thyself, physician. Help us to understand who we are and help us to understand that we are not Johnny come lately and nor we are afterthought or but by, but we were in the thick of things when this universe was created. We were part of the scheme of things. And let the truth be told, there were bones found of dead Nish, or what you might call Lucy, that were over in high places. So if you are able to name your grandmother in high places, why don't you stand with me today? Because we are. They found the bones of an African woman, and that tells us we were in high places as ancient people. And we are not newcomers. We're Nubian, black Nubians, and we've been here all the time. And they don't know a time when we weren't here. We've always been here. And because we're in every continent, in every part of the earth, we are not minorities. Quit calling yourself a minority. You cannot sub anything if you wanted to. You're above and you're the head and not the tail. And you're the cornerstone that was rejected, but you will be the foundation that this earth is revamped on. So why don't you get ready to be the cornerstone and the foundation? Because we are not taking a second-class citizen position. And because we don't have stuff and things, don't think yourself to be poor. Be rich and abundant in your spirit today. And rise in your spirit today. Arise, I say, in your spirit. As we arise for Carter G. Woodson, he can stand strong and look down and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And he'll be happy and he will be joyful at what he has created here on this earth as we reunite our customs and traditions back together and we wear the head rag and the printed cloth of our ancestors. May we remember that those were the clothes that they wore and designed out of their consciousness from Africa. Let us reconnect ourselves back to motherland so that we can be a part of that great mammary gland and that we too can suck from that great mammary gland and reconnect ourselves back to our homeland, the homeland we now call Africa, America. And let us be able to share in duality with our motherland and be a part of two dual citizenships. And we thank you, Father. We magnify you, we elevate you, and we consider you worthy, worthy, worthy is the King. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to pray a prayer of hope. I'd like to go in and say hello to one of my listeners out there. Hello, listener. Caller number 773.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Angela Walker. Wonderful. How are you tonight?
Just fine. Just glad that you were able to join us this morning. We've been in the spirit here.
Yes.
Summoning all of our heroes and sheroes and ancestors and acknowledging them for our second day of African-American history. Is there anything that you would like to say at this moment?
It is just such an honor, and it's just such a blessing that we can remember and rehearse the things that took place in order for us to be where we are today. It's so important for the younger generation to know and for them to be able to appreciate that they're not here just on a wing and a prayer, that lives were lost, that sacrifices were made, and that there were people who took the dare in order for them to be able to hold high positions, in order for them to go into any college of their choice, in order for them to walk into a dealership, in order for them to go to a mortgage company and walk into a bank. It is so important for them to know that they have the right to walk into any restaurant of their choice and sit anywhere they desire. That this did not come just because, but people sacrificed, people stood the test of time. It goes farther back than the Rosa Parks or the people that they know. People sacrificed years and years, our ancestors that gave their lives, our ancestors that did things that they did not want to do, but they were reminded, they knew that if they didn't do it now, who would do it? So these are things that we need to rehearse, and we need to be cognizant and remember them and rehearse them in the ears of our children to let them know that they should share it with their children. Let there be a legacy going down through every generation, every posterity, that they will not forget who they are, that they will not lose their identity in things and stuff and positions and all of these things. It's so necessary. And I think back to my parents and my forefathers, the sacrifices that were made, and I'm honored and I'm grateful that they took the dare and they took the position.
Thank you so for that word of encouragement, sister. I really do receive that. And I want to say to the general audience, ladies and gentlemen, this is a sister of the cloth who just started her journey to speak out and to speak to God's people. And we want to bid her the blessings of God and that will go with her as she begins her ministry on the airwaves. Thank you so much, Prophetess Angie. We really appreciate you and love you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to draw your attention to the billboard. I don't know if you can see it, the Moses that we have been finishing up. As we finish up with Moses, we want you to know that there's carbon footprints. And we also want you to understand there was a reason why I chose Moses, because he has a certain spirit. And at the same time, I was educating you about the new conference that's going to be in Wisconsin and Iowa. And I wanted you to know that this has a relationship. And the relationship is that there's a spirit about Moses. And we want to resurrect that spirit of Moses. He had a can-do spirit. He also had a spirit that he believed that if he lifted up his arms and that the people saw him, they didn't have to hear him say anything because Moses was slow to words. Moses did not have the gift of orator. He had to have a partner that God sent him, and that was Aaron. So he knew that his motion was to lift his arms up to give the people hope. And those leaders, they still exist today who are still giving us hope. And some of them have transpired and gone on across the land, we think. But their sweet fragrance is still in the atmosphere. You do not have to go very far to find melanin. It's still reservoirs in the atmosphere. So that is why we believe in our ancestors and we call them back periodically and acknowledge them, because it's their strength that we draw from. No one else's strength can you draw from any more than your mother's and father's. How is it that you can reject your mother and father in lieu of not wanting to call on your ancestors, Eli? It is very important that you must understand that frequency and matter cannot be recreated, nor can it be destroyed. So what would make you think that spirit can be destroyed? The flesh will go back to where it came, but the spirit cannot be destroyed. That is part of the essence of God that was given to you. He put a part of himself in you, and that is a Godhead that vibrates and speaks to you and that gives you the unction, your first thought. So let us not be shameful of the fact that we mention ancestors in here and think this is bush people or think we're coming up from the rough side of the Africans. You were part of what the Africans created when they created the ability for the Holy Spirit to take you to another level where you began to ask God to help you to find a way to become possessed with his spirit and his love. What you have in the church is the same thing as what the Africans were doing. They were tarrying for the Holy Ghost. So don't get pompous and proud. We must not separate ourselves from the Africans. They are us and we are them. It's just that we had a different voyage. They're going through their Ma'afa now. We went through our Ma'afa back in the 1600s. There is no difference. There's been war raised against both of us. And ladies and gentlemen, because this is African American History Month, I believe I'll preach a while. Normally I come to teach to you, but I want to let you know that in my spirit is a spirit to be of a Moses, to lift up my arms and give the people hope. So where you may be all over the land, I lift my arms and my hands to you and say, up you mighty race, you can accomplish what you will. The Moses spirit, I release all into this atmosphere and into this universe, that there'll be Moses rising up all over the county, all over the valley, all over the village, and in the atmosphere. So when the Moses spirit is released, what happens, you say, Omi? The Moses spirit will give you hope, give you encouragement, and renew your sense of spirit and encourage you to go on. Though things may look grim, you think. Though things may look like they're not going to come together, though things may look like you cannot see your way through, you must understand that this Moses spirit is contagious, and when it does get in your spirit, get ready to move, because Moses was the kind of person that lifted his arms and said very few words, and the rest of that was left up to the Creator. He moved on the water. He moved on the land so that the sea would part. He moved when the water turned to blood. He moved when the locusts went out. So this is a do right action adverb that we're talking about. This is an adjective and a verb at the same time, because Moses was a doer of the word and not seer and hearer. So we got to release the Moses spirit for African American History Month. I know that some of you think that Chiquez Diaz is gone and he can't come back. Marcus Garvey is gone and he can't come back. But you can raise up that spirit. What the Africans believe is that we never die. So when a new child is born into this world, we look at him and we ask him, is you the one? Is you the one? Because that Moses could be coming back to you through your child. So don't forsake him to look at your child and dedicate him back and hope that he has the Moses spirit. You know, Moses' mother, she had it in her mind that she would rather put her child out on the lake rather than to have the Romans come in and slay him. She took a chance in putting her child out in a basket and hoping and praying that God would intercede on his behalf. And he did. That's the kind of faith that he gave Moses, to believe for things like a shoot of my woman that you can't see. So we're going to have eyes to see and ears that we don't have to hear with and believe for things we can't see. As you know, this economy is turned upside down. And it has collapsed into madness. And the White House, the people are going outrageous and getting vulgar and getting into people's face like the president. So you know that we've reached the boiling point. And we've gotten to the point where we're beside ourselves because we're unsure what's going to happen. Whenever you're unsure in these times, you turn your face to the wall and you ask God to give you not just 15 more years, but give you wisdom and understanding and guidance in times like this. And pray for our leaders, pray for our president, and those who despitefully use our president. Beware. If you are a Republican and you are despitefully using our president out of spite, out of racism, then you're wrong. Then be prepared to reap whatever the chastening is. It's very important that we should respect our position of our leaders. Even if we don't like them, we must honor their positions and respect them. So we're having a hard time, you say, Omi, and we're up against the wall. But we're farmers, remember? We work with the plow. So why are we hungry? And why are we upset because we don't have funds? In hard times like this, my dear used to go to the pantry after she had already harvested her crop, and she had food and meat to feed her whole community. What is wrong with us, black people? Have we forgotten who we are? We are survivors. We sustain ourselves in hard times. When hard times come, we walk up against the flood because we are the Mother Earth, and Mother Earth will work with you, and the rivers will work with you, and the coyote will come, and then the serpent, he will even adhere to the connotation that if there's a connotation, the serpent is even told, you don't mess with God's people. So why are you letting people whoop on you? Why are you letting society whoop on you when you are chosen people? You're chosen priesthood. And why did you let someone steal your birthright and make you feel poor when they tell you you have $1 billion purchasing power and you still say, I'm a minority, I'm down here at the bottom, and when will we rise to the top? You've already risen to the top. Now take your proper places and stand in the right place and know that you've already risen. It's just your consciousness that you are going to have to turn around. Turn it around. Now, when you have turned yourself around and been fulfilled with the knowledge, then go and find somebody else and turn them around. I said turn them around and put them back on the right path and tell them they're not a minority and they can't serve anything if they wanted to. Tell them they're a royal priesthood, a Gentile people, born of the Nubian race, a burnt-skinned people. And that means something. You were the mothers and fathers of this earth. You birthed civilization into being. All civilization came from Dagnis' loins. And you don't have to ask me to prove it. There's documentation to back me up on that. And you can find that literature and history filed away. It is not a secret anymore. So why don't we stop acting like second-class citizens? We got a right to dual citizenship. We got a right to claim our nation again, to be African and American this time for real. So why don't you go on over to Africa? They've promised us some land, and they've also begged our pardon. And they said, come on home, children. Come on home. We got land for you. You got a place here in society. So when somebody embraces you like that, then take all of your skills and go there and become a dual citizen and help Mother Africa. You don't have to leave this land for good. You can come back and forth for vacation, but you have to know what's going on over in Mother Africa. There are tribal wars. And just as I lived in Europe, most of the Africans came to Europe and they lived in refugee camps. And I lived with the Africans. And I know what I'm talking about because I experienced it firsthand. We had Little Africa right there in Germany. And the people wanted to teach me. They wanted to show me. They wanted to culturize me. And I sat with them until I learned their languages. I tried to take them to church with me, but they had no dealing in the Jesus that I was worshiping. I had to respect where they were. Because they didn't know of this Jesus that we spoke so highly of. They said Jesus didn't come to them. He came to the Hebrews and not them. And I began to start to just let them teach me because I knew it was so much that they can tell me about religion because all of religion came up out of Africa. And if those of you who are Christians who are fighting that, stop fighting it because all of the religions were based on ISIS from Africa and various different other religions that predate before Christ. So you have to give respect where respect is due. Now, the Moses spirit, how will you know that it's on this earth? You will know the spirit because it will be a spirit of not pompousness and pridefulness, but a spirit of humbleness, not a contrite spirit that's been broken, but a spirit of believing that if need be, you will die for what you believe. See, Moses had to kill somebody. They don't tell you that. Moses had to commit murder because he didn't want to see his people beaten down. So he committed murder, but yet he was a man that God used. Now I'm telling you, you're fighting the wrong people, young people. You're turning the guns on the wrong people. Yes, there's a war out there. And parents, we got to go get our children, and we got to talk to them and tell them that that's the wrong war they're fighting against themselves. But there will be a time when you have to draw your weapons, but you have to stop drawing your weapons on your black-skinned people for no reason just because they're on your corner or look the wrong way. We got to rise above that, and we got to get over the grain house again like Joseph did. When Joseph got over the grain house, he didn't let anybody know he was over the grain house. He let his brothers come in who were very poor, and he cried. He cried for his baby brother because he wanted to tell him so bad who he was and what height he had established himself to being rich. He called for his baby brother to come back just so he could look him over and love him one more time. And then he gave them food, and he gave them all of the funds and money, and they wondered just who was this man that favored them. When they discovered it was their brother who they had thrown in the well and left for dead, they were amazed how he got over the grain house. You can get over the grain house today, too. You can get over the grain house, ladies and gentlemen, and I declare you can. But you have to have a change in mindset and have a spirit of Moses, a spirit of Moses to have sustainability to do for yourself, a spirit of Moses to be kind enough to see the needs of the people and have empathy in your heart, and this kind of spirit that will look at your brother and not look down on him, and the kind of spirit where you want for yourself what you want for others. And we have got to start being kin and kin again. We have got to start realizing we're all kin to one another. The coyote is my brother, and the ocean is my sister, and the river and the valleys, all of them are working hard to help you in the cosmos. But they see you fighting amongst yourself. They see you killing your own blood. But when blood calls, blood is supposed to answer. That is why the universe has been opening up to you, Mother Earth. The universe has been opened up to the women and the goddess, and they're trying to usher in a time where they can help us. But we must learn how to help ourselves. We must stop fighting amongst ourselves and squabbling over all of these so-called goods. We have to go after those things that are spiritual. Spiritual things are lasting, and they're eternal. Tangible things are material. They're not lasting. So don't think you're going to get rich and get to heaven without taking me, because you're supposed to look back over your shoulder like a Sankofa bird and pull your brothers and sisters up by the bootstraps. You can't get to heaven without taking somebody with you. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Doc Ben already told you where the heaven was between the legs of a woman. You know ecstasy every time you are with a woman, she takes you to heaven. So I want you to understand, we've got to stop this nonsense about tearing each other down, looking each other down. We can create the universe that we want right in the hood, but we have to start showing each other love. They said they will know us, and by the way we love one another, they will know us. They'll say, look at how they love one another, and that will be the difference in making us people that are set aside because of the way we love one another. Now, how is it that we can love God and Jesus, who we never seen, and hate our neighbor, who we see every day? And he said, Jesus said, why didn't you feed me? Why didn't you clothe me when you rejected your neighbor and the people that are walking here beside you? You've rejected the only so-called person you know as Jesus. You've rejected them, and you have to understand that you have got to start doing unto others as if Jesus was still walking this earth. That is your penance to Jesus, and knowing that you love Jesus because of your show how much you love one another. Now, I go and I leave you with the love and peace so that you will allow that to shed abroad, so that even in the little streams, you will find the ability to embrace the streams and spend time with the lakes and the ocean, and that you will keep them clean and sustain them as we get into a position.